Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Chris and Steve. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. On tonight's podcast, we're going to do a quick little review just with the three of us. Lauren and Sharpie are going to join us on our next podcast, but the three of us, with our families, went off to experience the Disney magic off at in Norway, the Norwegian fjords. And we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah.
Yay, that was on the Disney magic. And Chris, overall feeling for this cruise. You've been on a couple of Caribbean cruises, correct?
Yes.
How would you compare this to the Caribbean cruises?
I liked it a lot more. I just felt like the ports were better. I'm not really a beach person, so to me, I loved it more. And you couldn't beat the scenery. Like, I had no preconceived ideas about Norway. I was just like, okay, we're going to Norway. That'll be great. But I had no frame of reference for these fjords. And they were, I mean, okay. The one morning that we were all, you know exactly what
I know where you're going.
So the fjords are massive. And Lisa and I were like going, Steve was taking pictures, which is what he's always doing. And Lisa and I were standing a bit farther back on the side of the ship. And we're watching as the fjords, it's like super early in the morning. They said, get up early. You're going to want to see this. So we're watching as we go in through this like little bay, basically. But it's taking us like an hour to get in there because we have to go really slow. And we're like, and I said to her, I said, is that a tiny little house? And she Lisa got all condescending. She's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. That's a box, Chris. And I'm like, okay, I believe you.
It looked like one of those bird nesting boxes.
It did. And then she said, oh, wait a minute. Is that a little playhouse above it? And I said, I think you're right. So I said, but are those bushes, those bushes look like trees? And all of a sudden we realized, oh my gosh, these fjords are so much higher than we really realized from the ship. And they were huge. They were just
our perspective was completely off.
It was weird. Like, it took us probably 20, 30 minutes to figure this out.
It was hard to perceive it.
Right. You know, it looked like they were maybe a couple hundred feet high from the ship, but no, they were thousands of feet high. They were extraordinary.
Well, and with that whole thing with the house, once you realized it was a house, you still didn't believe it. And you were trying to figure out, and then we'd see a little boat tied up and we're like, is that a little toy?
Yes.
And we couldn't get our minds around it. And it was a very strange feeling. Even when you knew, okay, that's probably a cabin.
Cause there weren't a lot of them. We would go like 5 or 10 minutes without seeing anything. And then all of a sudden you'd see like one little house or something. And, yeah, it was very weird. And we actually felt like we were being messed with. We're like, is the Norwegian tourist board putting little teeny houses out to mess with us?
And then, we did say that.
And then when you get to the town, which is, I can't say it, Geiranger, the little town that we finally got to, you realize, okay, this little town looks like a bunch of those little boxes together because it's so huge.
It really messes with you. But going in, as Chris said, the captain, no, the Commodore? What was he? Commodore Tom.
I have no idea.
He wasn't a captain. He was a Commodore.
Yes. And whatever he wanted to call himself.
Yeah. He was from Norway. And he told us to be out on deck at 5:45 a.m. And so we were. We're good little listeners. And it was absolutely breathtaking. You know, you'd make these 90-degree turns through the fjords, and it would take a while, and because, of course, you did have to go slowly, and you just waited to see. You know, it's a little Pocahontas, what's around the river bend, and it was very cool. So it was absolutely beautiful going in, and then you're just kind of peeking around the corner, what's coming up next, and you'd see these waterfalls, And again, with this perspective thing, you'd think it was literally a waterfall that could be a foot wide. And mm-hmm. when you put it into perspective, you've got to figure that it's, you know, 30 feet wide. And you didn't get it.
Yeah, it's just, it was really, like I said, I had no idea how I'd seen pictures before, but I had really no idea. And the country itself is, it's pretty gorgeous. You know, I mean, not just the fjords, but the towns we went to and everything. I think if you can do it, do a Norwegian cruise. Yeah.
I think
it's amazing.
It's the, and I hadn't been to Norway either, and it just sounds exciting when you say you're going to go to Norway. So I didn't know what to expect.
It sounds like somewhere, like no one ever goes there. You go to France, you go to Germany, you go to Italy, you don't go to Norway.
Yeah. But it's like, I thought when we did the cruise, after the cruise, I'm like, this is the only way to see Norway because these places are so remote and you get to go through the fjords on the cruise. And, you know, instead of flying into some and getting to some of these places.
Which would be difficult.
It would be unbelievably difficult and expensive. Yeah. So a cruise, you get to see these little towns and all this scenery, just the right amount of time, you know, a day each, and then you're off to the next little kind of magical town. So it's a perfect place for ports for a cruise.
And it was nice because, you know, I felt like it was just the right amount of time to see some of these towns. You know, I mean, I would have, you know, gladly stayed in Bergen 2 days, but other than the other ones, the other three were just very small and very quaint and cute. And you needed one day.
Well, and I was going to say the towns seem to be just enough different from the next to make you want to get out there and check it out.
Yeah, they were. And we did, you know, we did an excursion the first day. We went to a, and this was a Disney sponsored excursion. We went to a little farm, and on the way there, they pointed out the resident cat lady who had 200 cats. Unfortunately, the bus didn't stop there, but you know, so we did
Chris
that.
Chris was like scratching at the window.
I know. I was like, oh wow, I want to be her friend. Her house was cute. Anyway, so we got to see that. We got to do kayaking, which was not as successful. And
for some,
what's that? For me, yeah, because, well, hey.
Your feet didn't reach the pedals.
I know, it was terrible. Anyway, so, I mean, it was, I don't know, it was like a once-in-a-lifetime wonderful experience that I would really love to do again, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, then it's not a once-in-a-lifetime.
And it was cozy on the ship. Like, you would be freezing your booty off all day long, and you'd get back on the ship, and you'd have a nice big dinner, and you'd have a show, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was absolutely my favorite vacation I've taken so far.
Yeah.
I think it really threw me off, and I think you guys would agree, that normally you go to dinner on a Disney cruise ship, and then you go to we had the first seating, and then you go to the show that's afterwards, and that ends around 9:30, 10 o'clock. You get out, and you might be a little tired. Well, you get out of these shows, and you walk along the deck, and it looks like it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because the sun doesn't set until 1 a.m.?
Can I say one thing? I wish we'd had later seating. Because if we had later seating, like the days that we were leaving ports and going back out, you know, leaving the fjords and going to the next place, you could have really enjoyed being on deck. Instead, we had to go back in and eat dinner. And we missed that good hour of, you know, really scenic stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you chose the second seating and you chose to bid adieu to the city that we were in, you would have missed the show. And of course, the Disney shows are phenomenal.
Well, it depends. I could have gone through my entire life without seeing Hector is Magic. It was awful.
See, this is where we disagree.
I know.
I thought he was good. You know, he did some pretty cool things. We don't need to review him. If you want, check him out. I'm sure he's out there on YouTube or something. But Hector is Magic is the name of him.
Hector is lame. It should have been.
Yeah, you kept saying that. No, you kept saying Hector is tragic.
It was tragic. It was awful. Oh. Steve liked it. Lisa liked it. And you know what? That is actually one difference in our families is my family really has a hard time sitting through all the shows. Like, I thought a couple of the shows were really good. The one they incorporated Frozen into. And, of course, the British guy with the pogo stick, I basically could have watched every night.
Well, they have, like you were saying, there's like two different types of shows on a Disney cruise. So they have acts that are like variety acts that they pick up at each port and drop off probably at another port. And so they're not Disney shows. But there may be someone who juggles or someone who does magic or something, you know, interesting, or there was a dance crew that did some unique dance, you know, black light, like something you would see.
They were kind of crappy too.
Well,
like America's Got Talent type of
show. Yeah, they were one of those winners.
Yeah.
They were clever, but it wasn't like something I would even walk across the street to watch.
Yeah, so there was a couple of those type acts that they do. And then they do those in the adult clubs as well. And then maybe if they're good enough, they'll have a big stage show. And then they have the Disney shows as well.
It always sounds like more racy when you say adult clubs, but it's basically the same show.
Yeah. Well, like the magician show or the comedian that they might have for the general audience is, you know, kind of PG. And then if you see his 11 o'clock show in the adult only area,
there's a bit of innuendo.
It's a little racier, but
it's
not
still
bad.
Disney.
Yeah.
But Steve made a little point about the incorporation of Frozen. And if you are familiar with that Disney Dreams
show,
where they have Peter Pan and Anne Marie, and they go through all kinds of different things, different storylines from Disney stories. they have now incorporated a couple of new ways to show those, and they incorporated Frozen into it. What they did with Lion King was unbelievable. It was like we were watching it in New York on Broadway.
Yeah, that was really good.
They use more lighting and they use the walls next to the stage to enhance what you're seeing. They really have done something great with that show to enhance it.
Yeah, so that's the Disney Dream Show, which is their final night big production show, which is really good. And like Lisa said, Frozen is now in there, which is spectacular. And then
if you've seen Disney Dreams and you think you don't need to see it again,
you need to see it again. It's a lot better. They've added that if you've seen the castle, the Disneyland Paris castle or the Walt Disney World castle where they do the video projection mapping of all those images on the castle, they've added that to the theater and they use it just about, I don't know, at the last third. Yeah, the last third of the show, they slowly start bringing that out and it's just spectacular.
They do a great job with that.
Yeah. I thought the shows were good, except, you know, it's kind of hit or miss with some of the, you know, magicians or whatever, but it's always good to get a variety. And like everyone said, I loved going to Norway. We go to the Caribbean a bunch, and the Caribbean's nice, and it's affordable, and it's a quick, you know, getaway vacation for sun and beach, but all those islands start to seem like they're the same. You know, they could be named.
Well, they have the same souvenirs and trinkets and the same Carlos
snorkeling
and Charlie's.
And
they have the same excursions. It does get to be a little repetitious.
Yeah. Versus this is, you know, it's clean. It's the people are friendly. You're not going to some of these ports if you've been on some of these cruises where, you know, there's people begging or trying to sell you stuff constantly if you're in certain areas of Mexico or the Bahamas or whatever.
Yeah, Jamaica. I mean, any of these Grand Cayman, Portugal. When you get off the ship, you don't feel bombarded. You don't feel threatened. You feel safe. It's clean. It's, you know, I hate to say it, it's a completely different feeling than any other cruise.
It would be like going to... Wait, Chris, go ahead.
I would just like to say that a homeless lady did show me her goiter.
Well, you got off the ship
early
in the morning one day.
Yes, I was by myself.
But all those cities were very nice. And I thought, and it was nice to go to those types of places on a cruise for once.
And this is a bit off topic, but, you know, what would a show be without that? I struggled with the time change going there. And found myself very tired and just, you know, wanting to sleep all day. And, you know, you force yourself to get up and do things. Coming back, we slept probably 14 hours straight Sunday night or maybe Saturday night. And I feel like I'm back in the saddle. I am right back where I need to be. So the time change, I don't feel it now. Going there hurt. I don't know why. Chris, how are you doing with the time change coming back?
I've been pretty much okay. I didn't have any problems going over at all. I think I was just way too excited. I had one night where I was kind of tired, but otherwise, you know.
Yeah, you were up a lot early and all that. I had a hard time when I got over there.
Yeah. I noticed that. I was wondering what was going on because there were a couple afternoons you seemed really exhausted. So.
I was. Well, and I think my foot kind of played a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I'm still having a little trouble with the foot, and that hampered my ability to do some of the things. While Steve and Chris got to do that 422 step climb to somewhere, which I don't even know, which was highlight of Chris's trip, of course.
Well, we can get into
excursions
as well.
My trip was the tram that we got to do in Bergen, and then we got to walk down, which is awesome.
Oh,
so
okay. Well, I didn't get to do that either.
The steps were pretty awesome. I was very thankful I got to do both of those.
Yeah. So we booked some excursions. So if you don't know, you can book excursions beforehand for Disney Cruise. And then Chris was on a forum or a Facebook page as well of people going on the cruise. And some of those people book their own excursions, not through Disney Cruise Line. And then you can also, find your own excursions when you get to port on a Disney Cruise or any cruise line. So we did a mix of both, and the first thing we did with excursions, I think, what was our first one, like you said, Chris, was that farm?
The farm, yeah. That was cute. It wasn't as cute as, frankly, some of the other stuff we did later, but it was cute.
Yeah, so we went to, a traditional Norwegian farm, and they take you on a bus. You see some scenery.
Yeah, we saw those swords that were, and you hear the stories on why the swords are there, representing the end of a war, and some king didn't have enough land in his kingdom, and he, according to the woman he wanted to marry, and she wouldn't marry him until, anyway.
Oh, that's right. He had to conquer all those lands.
Yeah, and he finally got to marry her, and then he died like 2 months later or something.
So the
No, he lived many years, and he had many wives after her. She didn't make it.
Oh, she didn't make it?
No, he had like 55 kids.
Oh, well, I messed that one up.
You need to go on the excursion again.
I need to go again.
You know what? I remember weird things. Don't get me
started
on Louis.
No, but you have
15.
A better memory. Yeah. I mean, I remembered some of that, though.
Yeah, so that was, it was a great photo op on that excursion.
I like
the
longhouses.
And you get to see the traditional longhouses. And
we got to practice some archery with real bow and arrow sets.
Yeah. So that was good for the kids. And it was, that was through Disney Cruise Line, through the port adventure desk. And we booked that in advance.
Yeah. It was very cold though. So I think that put a little damper on things.
Yeah. And then the other thing we did is we just got off the ship in some of the ports and decided to do our own excursions. And that worked out actually surprisingly well.
Well, we tried to book something else while on board, and either the excursion was taken or it wasn't appropriate for either Chris's height issues or my foot issues or our kids' age, which we could have left them on board if it came down to that. But so we were kind of out of luck by booking the Disney Cruise excursions.
Yeah, just so you know, if you put me on a mountain road on a bus, I'm probably going to freak out.
Yeah.
There's something about mountain roads, no guardrail on a bus. It's not a good day.
Yeah, so we did an on and off bus tour, which we just did. You know, you get off, basically you get off the ship and there's, excursion desks, from the local area set up right there. And you can find some people and book what you want for a lot less. So that's a good tip. And we did, at one point we did an on and off bus, and in another port we wandered off and found a castle right there at the port, and for $10 you get to go through the castle, which was like an awesome deal.
That was a highlight.
That was like a hidden gem, and I forget what, I'll have to look at my
photos. Do know the name of it. It's it starts with an R. I just had the brochure out.
Well, I'll put it in the show notes, but so there was a castle that was great for the kids, and they had some old swords
and castle,
helmets.
It was shoot.
Yes.
It was like a really common name that we would know. Like, never mind.
Yeah, it was an R though.
Yeah, so we can
yeah.
But so that was a great deal, and it was like $10.
It was $10, and the kids loved it. They got to see all this stuff. You got a great view of the city.
And you're exploring through these teeny passageways and going up these little ancient, you know, rock steps and going into a real dungeon. I mean, so it was pretty cool. So we did that, and that was like a whole hour, and it was right there on the port. And then we wandered around town, got some school bread like you could get over at Epcot, but in the real Norway.
Which it tastes just as, I thought it tasted exactly the same, which is to say kind of eh.
Yes. So we did that. And then we found one of those, Chris and I found one of those trams, like a cable that, like an incline railroad.
Yeah. You and go that up was the side of like the cheap. Highest hill in Bergen, and then you can either take it back down or you can walk down. The walk's like a good, what? It said 45 minutes. I felt like it took longer.
Yeah. And it's a definite steady 45 to 1 hour walk on the way down.
Yeah.
And it's you know, beautiful scenic views on the way up, and you're walking through this, you know, majestic forest with little streams and little waterfalls and moss covered rocks. And
it was awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was definitely the highlight of my trip. That was the best part, because it was gorgeous.
I was just looking up castles in Norway, and I didn't find the one that we did, but the Akershus castle is there. We should have seen that.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Do they have the
it's
princess,
an Akershus fortress.
Do they have princess breakfast for like $89 a person?
Yes.
I was.
And
totally
they take your picture when
that.
You first get there.
Yes. So, yeah. So the excursions, if you want to try to do them on your own, we found some great deals, and just send us a Facebook comment or a comment on the mousechat.net page, and we can let you know kind of some of the hidden gems we found.
I would say that the only town I thought that people would have benefited from having an excursion already pre-booked was probably the first one, because you could walk all over that little town and see like a cute little downtown area, but all the really historical stuff you kind of needed a bus for.
Yeah, and that's the one where we did the farm or...
Yeah, skip the kayaking. It's
yeah,
really
we did do
it.
A kayaking tour, and just real quick on that. It's like right there in the port that you get on the kayaks. And it's a lot of work.
It's a ton of work.
And I
was yeah, it was very tiring.
I was in there with a 12-year-old who was not rowing, and I wanted to kill him.
You have to be pretty fit. And it's very wavy.
I don't think you have to be that fit. I think you do need to be a certain height so you can reach the pedals for the rudder.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you take your time, I am certainly not the image of great strength and health, but I think we did fine.
Yeah.
You guys did fine. Kevin and I, because we had little kids in our kayaks, we both had issues.
Right. Well, you guys have the two 12-year-olds.
Right. And like they started out with me in the front, and they're like, okay, well, this kid's not going to row. So we're like out in the middle of all this water, and they come up to some rocks and I'm like, okay, you have to switch around. So we got soaked doing that, and they put me in the back. But what they didn't tell me was that I couldn't reach the pedals. So then I couldn't steer. So it was just not great. Like the whole time I was like grumbling and cussing. Well, okay, not really cussing because, you know, I'm too sweet for that. But I was grumbling. And then Steve lost his camera.
I was going to say, the name of Mouse Chat.
Yeah, I lost my GoPro in the bottom of the
We had three of
fjords.
Them with him.
Yes. That's why.
Did you? I just hope that you lost the one where you were taking pictures of me.
No, I have footage. I'll have to make a little video.
I hate you so much.
Did you find the footage?
Yeah, it's on another camera. Yes.
Is it stuff you can actually put online?
I'm sure it's good.
Did you find the footage of when you dropped the camera?
Oh, not that camera.
Oh,
yes. I have footage of me dropping the camera with the other camera.
Do you really? Okay, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but it's a waterproof camera.
Yeah, so if anybody's in Norway,
you can go get yourself a nice GoPro.
Wants to go diving.
Gosh.
But the other thing, so if you haven't been on a Norwegian cruise, which seems obvious but was not to a lot of us, is that it's cold.
Yes.
And you think, I don't know, because we're booking this kayaking tour, and this is what you're thinking. In your mind, you're thinking, you're going to be going down this little teeny passageway, and it's going to be 80 degrees.
Through the fjords, looking up at the mountains.
It's going to be calm and flat water. It is not that at all.
And it's not rapids, it's just waves.
It's very windy,
yeah.
Very wavy, each, I mean, the highs are maybe in the mid-50s.
Yeah, the water was really cold.
The water is freezing cold.
What was bad about it is you struggled going, you know, going down wherever we went, you know, to the point where we turned around, and then you had to go back up.
Yeah, and you have to go against
the
current.
That was against the current.
Against the current.
When you're already exhausted.
And the wind. But Norway in general, it's expect it to be kind of dreary, overcast, drizzly, and cold. And each port you go to is farther north, pretty much, except for the last one. So each day, so the first day, if you want to swim on a Norwegian cruise, go swimming.
That's your best day to do it.
In Copenhagen, when it's like 65 degrees, and if it's sunny, you go swimming, because that's as hot as it's going to ever be.
Well, and our kids did go swimming. All of them went.
Yeah.
I went both days. Well, no, I went the last day.
And I think our last day, it was almost high 70. 60s or 70.
It was fine.
Which
was
nice.
I was not cold in the water.
Yeah.
Well, but it was funny because the kids, you know, the water's heated. That's great. But then they'd get out and they'd be shivering. Mm-hmm. And then they'd be going for that ice cream. It's like, you're freezing, so go eat some ice cream.
I never spent so much time in a hot tub in my life as I did that day. I just was like, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to warm up in the water, and then I'll go check on the kids, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic.
So
it was
pack,
a good day.
So you just have to pack accordingly. And we tried to, but it's still...
Oh, we so overpacked.
And don't... Yeah,
so,
that's the other thing.
So, and that is the problem, because when you're going on a cruise, okay, when you cruise in the Caribbean... In my experience, it's been pretty limited, but in my experience, people dress up for dinner. They didn't really dress up on this cruise for dinner. And I packed probably 15 dresses. I wanted all these options. And so I had a suitcase and a half just of stuff to wear to dinner and shoes. And all I really needed was like maybe four or five dresses, because people got really kind of like in the, by the middle of the cruise, people were showing up just like in regular clothes because it was cold.
Yeah, that was me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, sweater and jeans is really what I went to dinner in.
Yeah. And I would still personally, I would still dress up. I just wouldn't have overdone it with the packing because I brought so much stuff.
Well, when it came to the packing, you had to consider the different aspects that we had to cover. You had the dinners, so you needed nicer clothes. You didn't know if you would actually need some shorts, so you had to bring shorts. You knew that it would be cold, so you did bring your long sleeve. You didn't know how cold, so you brought some sweaters and some jackets, and we brought gloves and hats, and we wore gloves and hats.
Yes.
It was cold.
By Bergen, it made sense to me to buy a Norwegian sweater.
Yeah.
Let me just put it that way. I was like, oh, these are lovely. I need one.
Yeah, plus you're going to experience the fjords, and you're in the fjords at about 5 a.m. to 5:45 a.m. So you're out on deck at 5:45 a.m. and it's cold and drizzly. So make sure you pack accordingly for that, because you want to be out there and taking photos, and they go so slow that you can hardly tell the ship is moving. So you really get to enjoy it. So,
and a nice thing, because it is so cold, Disney, the deckhands are providing you with blankets, little fleece type blanket throws, and everyone's wrapped up in them.
Yeah, blankets, coffee.
Yeah, they had hot chocolate when you came back on the ship. Nice little touches that really set Disney apart.
Yeah, and another... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'd love to talk about the things that set Disney apart, just in general when it comes to their cruises.
Well, the service... And we can go into this. Yeah, our service was absolutely phenomenal.
We had the sweetest waiters.
Yeah.
They were just awesome.
Yeah.
And Steve and I have done a good number of cruises between Disney and other lines. And we both agreed that this was easily the best wait staff team that we've had.
Yeah. And the Disney, when you go on a Disney cruise, you definitely see the difference in, I think, the food versus like a Royal Caribbean Carnival, the, you know, the extras, you're getting ice cream cones and sodas and all that stuff. You get nickel and dime on these other ships, and all that stuff is included. The wait staff was absolutely phenomenal. They
and so was our room attendant.
Yeah, they knew our kids.
Oh,
they knew
we loved
our
her
needs. Yeah, room attendant was great. It was So that really made it awesome. And as we were on there, we were like, oh, we should have booked a back-to-back. A lot of people on these cruises mm-hmm. are booking back-to-back cruises. They're going.
Some did back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, some of them are doing three cruises in a row, you know, because the next cruise goes to Russia, I think. And then they do a follow-on.
Yeah.
And it's a good value because we did, and I won't go into it on this show, but we did another week in Paris. And, you know, it was just the highlight of that is, I mean, it was $180 every time we got in a cab. Easily.
Expensive.
Because we have to move all the people, all the luggage. Then you're paying $100 to go out for burgers. You're paying...
Yeah.
Well, and Chris paid more because, of course, she's got the family of six that went out there.
Everything is so expensive. And just to get around with you and your luggage, and then any meal is easily $100 with you and two kids. And we're not talking nice meals.
And it's harder with the kids.
Yeah. And you have kids that it's very, but on the cruise,
let's stick to the cruise.
All included. It's all part of the thing, the transportation, the entertainment, the food. And it makes it so much easier. The kids club, if they want to go to kids club, if they don't want to do an excursion, you have babysitting at kids club, all included.
All right. So on most of the, is it all of the Caribbean sailings? I think they do. Like even the three night, they have the Pirates in the Caribbean party.
Yeah, Pirates in the Caribbean party.
With the fireworks.
Which is a very well done production with some little surprises with Mickey. And dance party slash, and I don't know. And then there's also the fireworks at sea, which are pretty cool when you're on a cruise ship and they're launching fireworks. So for this one, they did Frozen. So the other thing about the Norwegian cruises, you know, there's a Frozen night. The lobby's kind of themed for Frozen. There's
kind of is a stretch.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was all like crappy plastic.
Yeah, so there's a few little things. You can set up an appointment where you get a photo op with the characters. And if you're into Frozen, that's nice. And then they have this Frozen Freezing the Night Away party, which is another dance party similar to the Pirates. The things that I thought were lacking was it's not as well done as the Pirates party. It's like you can obviously tell that the budget and the amount of thought that went into it was a lot less than the standard Pirates of the Caribbean. The other thing is there's no fireworks because it's at, I don't know, 11 at night, but it doesn't get dark.
Yeah, it is 11 at night and it still looks like it's
like
6.
Yeah, it's like daytime. So it's always daytime. It gets the sun comes up usually at like 4:30 and goes down about 11:45 at night. Most of your night. So
yeah, I took a picture out the window at 11:48 of our cabin, and still, I mean, you can see sunlight. You can still see the daylight. And any other time that you're out on a ship and you look out the window at night, you are lucky if you see a white cap or something. But you could see for miles.
Yeah. So there's no fireworks. So that's kind of the disadvantage. So I guess the disadvantage is I didn't think the party was as good as you would see on a Caribbean cruise. It was okay. It's not put together as well. And there's no food. There's no buffet.
I told the kids, I'm like, okay, there's a dessert party after this. And they were like, yay.
You're like, I'm on a very expensive Norwegian cruise. And, you know, afterwards they're going to have, you know what, the Pirates... Maybe they've changed this, but it used to be they would have turkey legs and food and desserts and drinks, and everybody would go in and you'd get a bunch of different things. This was just the show. They have a little bit of snow, of fake snow, and then it's and then you're like, okay, it's over, and there's no food. No. And then the other thing that we might want to talk about real quick, and then we'll wrap it up, is Palo. So we had a reservation for Palo, and it's, if you don't know, that's their like high end specialty restaurant. I believe it's gone up from 25 to 30 a person.
It is
to eat in there now, and it's definitely well worth it. We had a waiter that we had on our last Disney cruise.
We like him because he's snarky.
Yep. So we had we had him, Carlos.
Alvin. No, it was Alvin. Alex.
Alvin.
Alvin.
Alvin. Thank you.
So yes, you can tell him. You can't even remember his name.
He was dull.
He was
really sweet. He's like this Filipino guy. He looks like he's 25. He's like in his 40s.
Yeah. So
he's a grandfather.
I know.
Advantage
crazy.
Of doing Apollo night on a Norway cruises, it's at the back of the ship. And we had a reservation maybe at six. And you're leaving the port and you're going through the fjords and it's all windows in that restaurant. And as you're eating for like an hour or 2 hours, all you see are fjords, and we saw whales, and it was just, you know, spectacular views as you're leaving Norway, as you're having a great meal. So that's something you should do if
I gotta say something.
Uh-huh.
Twice I've been there and they haven't gotten my steak right. It's always overcooked. So they need to work on that.
They do.
Yeah.
You wanted medium rare and it was well done.
I know. It was not good. And even when they gave me another one, it was still kind of like, okay, whatever.
Not so.
It was a little overcooked. So, and I spilled food all over my white dress.
She wore a white dress to dinner.
I know. And the worst thing is then I left. I'm like, fine, I'm changing this dress. I went downstairs. I put on another one. So I had a backup dress.
You had several.
I know. So, but yeah. So don't do like me. Take a Tide. What is it? Stain thingy.
Stain stick.
Yes. Thank God I had one.
Yeah. So I think all in all, it was definitely well worth it. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, I've had great vacations in my life. That's my favorite, I think.
I think you're going to be very shocked by this. Well, I'm talking to Chris.
If you say you liked Paris better than Norway, I'm going to fall over.
What? This may make you fall over just as well.
Okay.
Especially coming from me. I did not play a single game of trivia.
You didn't? I know.
The whole time. No trivia. No games. No Pictionary.
Which is interesting because
we did play a couple of the kids games.
Yeah.
You know, generation games or whatever. But yeah.
Because most of your activities you're doing are on these types of cruises, which I assume is maybe with Alaska as well, is you're not really in the pool because you're not on the deck sunning. You're not on the pool. You're probably not really in the jacuzzi. You're just kind of like running through those areas if you have
literally
to get to the next area.
If you decide you want an ice cream or a soda, you're like, oh, I've got to go out on deck. Okay, here we go.
So you're not spending a lot of time out there.
I don't think it's bad for Alaska.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give Alaska a try.
So you're really doing a lot of indoor activities, which is also really nice on this ship, on a Disney cruise ship, because that ship is just the right size to be inside. You're not feeling like there's, you know, 5,000 people or something on one of these massive ships waiting for the movie or waiting for the shows or waiting to see the characters. It was just the right amount of people, for a Norwegian cruise.
I did think of a couple other things I wanted to point out. We, in addition to our phenomenal wait staff that we had, our head waiter was so good and so attentive. He was great as well. And we'd see him, you know, at breakfast or we'd see him at dinner. And he knew us and he was a pleasure, absolute pleasure. And then I was going to point out how important gratuities are.
Yeah.
And I just want to take a minute. The room attendant, your waiter, your assistant waiter, and your head waiter, they all work for tips. They work for the gratuities. I did find out that who doesn't get anything else? Was it the waiters?
Well, the room attendant, that's all she makes is tips.
Yeah, she makes only tips. So when you decide that you paid enough for that Disney cruise and you don't really want to pay those gratuities, she just did your whole cruise for free. And she's in there twice a day picking up your crud. And she said it happens frequently that people literally go down to the service desk and remove the gratuity because Disney will put it on to your room bill. But they go down and say, I don't want to pay a gratuity. And it's additional. And so you're not required to pay it, but it is a pretty strong obligation.
Yeah.
This is their job, and they get paid with gratuities.
And they're working incredibly long hours.
They're working,
And they're in there cleaning those tiny bathrooms and picking up after your kids and making those ridiculous towel animals and, you know,
And they're bringing all your luggage from the port into the rooms and all your luggage out of the rooms until like midnight.
Dealing with your nasty used bath towels.
It's such a small amount of money when you compare it to what you just spent.
I know.
Don't cheap out on the tip.
Because they're working literally every day 14 to 16 hours a day for 6 months without seeing their families, with no days off.
Yeah. And a lot of people wonder why you would tip the head waiter. Some of you guys don't see him. He does come around and introduce himself, make sure everything is all right. And he's not just a figurehead. He's doing a lot of things to make sure everything else runs smoothly. So that's one position that sometimes I've felt, I don't know why I'm tipping this guy. But it's one of those things that you don't see what he's doing. Next time you go on a cruise, make a point, try to make an effort to talk to him or her and find out what they're doing. Or ask them. What's your day like?
Because their
days are just as long. They're still managing their waiters and assistant waiters.
Yeah, like your wait staff, when you see them at dinner, they're also serving or cleaning plates at the buffet for breakfast, and they're also doing lunch. And so they're working constantly.
They're the same crew.
Yeah, so, and then we usually tip above the recommended amount. We'll do the recommended amount, and then we'll bring cash and give them cash inside the envelopes. Yeah. Because I would rather take care of someone who's working that hard than to just give money to someone who's panhandling and sitting on the street. Because these people are busting,
even if they show you their goiter?
Yes. Because those people are working, I mean, literally 6 month shifts without seeing their family, their kids,
isn't
their babies.
It's six, I think.
Yeah, they do a six and then the 3 months. Usually they take a 2 or 3 months off and then they do another six. And I mean, some of those guys that we were with were, you know, they were there for 15 years.
One of the guys we talked to said, you know, they're trying to have a child, but it's not working because he's never home. You know,
that is an important element.
So it's tough. And those people, and they give you excellent, beyond unbelievable service.
Yeah, they're
good with the kids.
Your kid is like, I don't want to eat this. And they're like, well, let me give you this.
Cut up the steak for your kids. You know, they bend over backwards. We mentioned that the girls like the chocolates on their pillows. And so look at that. We got double the chocolates every night.
Or the cheese sticks,
the fried mozzarella sticks. We got a bowl of those every night. Well,
because we mentioned, or Lisa mentioned, that she liked cheese sticks.
And
then there's a bowl of like 40 of them.
Yeah, and like with the sauce, insane. And the kids ate them up.
So they really go above and beyond. You're treated like royalty on those ships.
They want to make you happy, and all you have to do is ask.
I always thought cruising was like completely lame. Like I always thought that only old people did it, and I never wanted to go on one. And then we got the opportunity to go on the Fantasy when they launched it. And that was fantastic. I was like, this is why so many people go. I mean, it's a wonderful experience. They do everything right. It's great. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, we sell Disney. I think it's fantastic. So having said that, I don't think I would ever do any other cruise line but Disney. So.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and grab the show and wrap it up here. I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you have comments or questions for us on the show, you can write to us at comments@mousechat.net. And if you like the shows, you can download those at iTunes and also at mousechat.net. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us again next time on Mousechat.